and welcome to the Hockey Show here on 101.5 UMFM, Canada's only campus-produced radio show that strictly talks hockey. Glad to have you aboard tonight, everybody. Glad to have you here because we got a big interview to do tonight. Not sure how we're going to do this when we have to squeeze 35 years of information into 50 minutes, but we'll do our best in terms of getting that done. A lot to go over, a lot to certainly talk about with our guest here tonight. So let's get started. Let's not waste any time. Because when one has the opportunity to have someone on the show who has more than 35 years of experience in the game, there should be little hesitation in saying yes to that question. I'll fully admit right here, right now on this program, that I likely should have done this interview long before today because this man's resume speaks for itself when it comes to his hockey success. And he's honestly probably forgotten more than I'll ever know about the game. He's coached Olympians, he's coached NHL players, he's coached hockey stars in his distinguished career before they became household names. He has coached both men's and women's hockey in Alberta, ranging from the Alberta Junior Hockey League to the Alberta Female Hockey League. And he has led his teams to all sorts of success at every level. While he's quick to put the players' achievements ahead of his own, the Hockey Show is proud to highlight much of his work and certainly as many achievements as we can that we can squeeze in here today. He's best known as the Associate Director of Hockey at Vimy Ridge Academy in Edmonton and as the head coach of the three-peat Esso Cup champion St. Albert Slash. Ladies and gentlemen, the Hockey Show is proud, honored, privileged, humbled, and pleased to welcome Mr. Dan Auchinberg to the show. Dan, how are you?
Very good, Trevor. Yourself?
I am doing well, thank you. Trying to sort of keep myself safe. Everybody safe in your household? Everybody doing well there? Yeah?
Yes. Yes. Good. We all are doing really well, and just trying to same thing, stay healthy and safe and do the things we have to do to, you know, to stay that way. So
excellent. That's what I want to hear in terms of keeping everybody safe. Before we get started, though, I have been reminded and certainly urged by the St. Albert Slash family to remind you and celebrate your 27th birthday tomorrow. So happy birthday, sir.
Hey, I didn't even know you would have known that.
They sent me messages today about it. So I am passing on a good message. So happy birthday and certainly all the best happening tomorrow for you. And make sure you
thank you. You'll blow awesome.
The handful of candles that are on there for you. So
I don't know if they can fit in that many candles.
Oh, no, that's not definitely. It's way too young. You're way too young for that. let's jump into this. Again, we got 35 years of experience to squeeze in this time, so let's try and do this as best we can. Sure. I want to start prior to the 2001 season when you were named the AJHL Sherwood Park Crusaders head coach. Excuse me. How did you get into coaching? How did everything sort of come about in terms of you becoming a head coach at that level?
Well, I was coaching minor hockey for quite a few years before that, and every level from mid to AAA down to novice. And I coached the Brick Super Novice for 12 years. I was involved with that for 12 years. And, you know, just it inspired me just to keep on coaching and seeing the gratitude of kids moving on and getting to the level that they wanted to get to, and some not, but quite a few did. And, you know, each to their own, they always, you know, go in different directions in their life and stuff. But it was a great motivational thing. And so what happened was when I was coaching the Brick, through that process, a gentleman, Mr. Carbonaro, came up to me, and he was a professor at U of A. And he said, have you ever wanted to do this for a living? And I said, well, I'd love to, right? And but I said, you know, that it's hard. I have a family, and you know, you still have, yeah, you know, mortgage payments and all that stuff. How do you do it for a living, right? He said, well, let me see what I could do. And so I was very fortunate that I got an interview at Donnan School for the hockey program, and Danny Peacock and Jeff Jones interviewed myself, and Terry Black and myself got hired on. And you know, I give all my credit to my wife giving me that opportunity, and because obviously it wasn't the same pay at that time and everything. And you know, the city gave me I was with the city for 21 years to that point, and then I basically, you know, said, well, I'll try it for a year and see how it is. And I loved it so much. And, you know, we started with 35 kids at that time, and it just grew from there. And then the next year following, they said, what do you want to do with the city? And I just said, I think I'm going to stay doing this for a while. And they gave me another year. And then I had to make a decision And so I just made a decision, and I've been with now what's called Vimy Ridge Academy, but Donnan is our sister school. We grew from elementary all the way to high school, and seen a lot of kids grow, and you know, they're playing in the NHL, they're doing, you know, the females are on Olympic. I had a great opportunity in my coaching career to coach Shannon Zapatos with the AJ, the first girl that was accepted to play in the AJHL. That's kind of what gravitated me to coaching female hockey, and the other side of it was Vimy wanted to kind of get a female program going.
Okay.
And so at the end of the day, that's how I all got started in the female side of it. But Shannon was such a mentally strong individual that I gravitated to that, and I just said, you know, if girls can be that mentally strong, they have some resilience in them that we don't even know as men, right? And at that time, I just said, yeah, I'll take the opportunity to coach girls. I had no clues, just coming out of junior hockey for 10 years and what I was getting into. But, I had some good support. Heather Osgood was our trainer at Vimy at that time. She became a trainer on the staff, so she knew all about girls and stuff. And I started coaching the Edmonton Thunder. And then I basically coached them for 3 years, went to the first ESSO Cup and the second ESSO Cup. And then went back to go at guys for 4 years. I made you AAA, and then I came back. Sherwood Park Fury reached out to me, and that was a good kind of timing for me to kind of switch back. And I said, sure, I'd do it. And it was a great opportunity for me to get back into the female game. And I did that for a couple of years, and then all of a sudden the league changed to six teams, and went to the Slash, and here we are.
the rest is history. Yeah, no, definitely on that. I want to go over a few details then, because that was a pretty good synopsis of exactly where you've been and what you've done. 2001, as you said, jumped in with the Sherwood Park Crusaders.
Yeah.
Things going. Started a little slowly, but you guys finished pretty strong. 15-game winning streak sort of to carry you into that, into the third place in the North Division there. What changed that season to sort of lead to that, that winning streak and certainly that cohesion amongst the teammates?
Well, when I first started as an assistant coach with Sherwood Park, Paul Almeida brought me in, and Vince Sinatinsky was the director of player personnel at that time. And they were the worst team in Canada at that time. We only had won 7 games all year, and they needed some motivation, I guess. And people believe I'm a very positive person. So, but I do think I'm positive too. To get the best out of any individual, you have to believe in them. And so that kind of, we had a lot, we really young team that year with Sherwood Park, and they needed some support and self-esteem and confidence and stuff like that. So, as we went through the season, we were competing, but they were very, deflated because they weren't winning, and not realizing that, they had a lot of good years ahead of themselves. And that's kind of how it started. And then that year we got out to that year that we did finish with our winning streak, we did get off to a poor start because we thought it was going to be easy. And we started good, and then we kind of deflated a bit, and then all of a sudden we had a great finish, right? And that was all about, I took over after 2 years of head coach to be the head coach. And
yeah,
it just started from there, and we had a phenomenal season the next season after that. And it was everything that has happened to me in the hockey side of it. Has it all positive? No, but you learn, it's up and down, and you learn from it and you move forward. But the most important thing that I always say is that the players are the most important thing about a team. So you can't do it by yourself, and your coaching staff is a big part of it, and you have to believe in them. So, yeah, that's Paul Almeida and Vincent Atinsky got me that kind of start in the AJ, and I thank them for that.
So you guys went 38-21-5 during that magical season of 15 wins in a row there. Perhaps a little bit more, and you didn't mention it, and I think it should be mentioned. Pretty good indicator that I think you're figuring out this coaching thing. you were named the AJHL Coach of the Year that year. So that's a pretty, pretty cool honor, pretty good honor that sort of, you know, validates all the work you put in, right?
Yeah, it is. It is. It's a great honor. But at the end of the day, it's the kids that believe right. in you. Right?
Yeah, no, so, I mean, that's entirely. But I mean, still, it's yeah, nice to
It is a phenomenal honor. Yeah. There's no question, right? When you're coaching, you get that accolade thrown out to you and saying, you know, they appreciate what you've done. And being recognized for that is, yeah, it's was very pleasing for sure.
So 2002 hit. You guys are rolling along, having a great season. All of a sudden, Chris Denman, your goaltender, injured. Kind of forced your hand into trying to find some replacements, somebody to fill in, one of those replacements happened to be a plucky young netminder by the name, as you said, Shannon Sabados. How on earth did you acquire Shannon, and what do you remember about her in terms of, you know, just coming in and facing down the guys?
Well, honestly, Trevor, I still can see it today. You know, it's funny how you've done your homework. There's no question.
I try to do a little, yeah.
And so, yeah, Shannon came out of Maple Leafs Midget AAA, and she came to our club, and Vince basically asked me, would you take on a girl? And I said, yeah. At the end of the day, I always believe an athlete's an athlete. If you're able to, whatever you do at your sport, be the best you can possibly be, and you earn it, it doesn't matter what gender you are, right? So I look at it this way. She came into camp. She was really determined. You know, Tri-Cities was kind of, you know, kind of looking at her too and all those things. And happened to go down. She wanted to try out for the WHL, and she got an invitation to go down there to try out. Things didn't go quite as well as she wanted to. And she called me after she got let go, and I just said, okay, you're in tomorrow night. Let's get you back here and get you in. And that's kind of like how she got started. But the best part about this whole thing, I remember our president saying, what? We've never had a girl. And I said, well, the guys even on our team in tryouts said, she's like great. She's legit and everything. And I said, I know. So I said, well, she's like, her and Denman were the two and the tandem. And I said, let's do it. And yeah, it took a little bit of convincing. But once the AJ kind of opened the door to that, it was awesome. She just took the bull by the horn and showed her true colors of how resilient she was, how mentally tough she was. Nothing bugged that girl. She was so solid. It was unbelievable.
Obviously, and again, I mean, it happens only because it's the first and everybody's kind of, oh my gosh, this is different. How do you handle the media frenzy that sort of surrounds that? Because I mean, it sounded like everybody who was anybody that had a camera or a microphone wanted to get out there and talk to you guys about this.
Well, the thing about that was that she was that focused on her game. So the distractions didn't bother her. We obviously things like, oh, you know, was in the AJ, but she was so mentally tough. I just said, you know, you zero those things out of your head, focus on the game. That's all that matters, because what's around you doesn't matter. If you can zero in on what's on the ice, that's all that matters. So she did a really good job on that. The boys accepted her so well on the team. It was an incredible team that year in a sense of, you know, like, okay, it was their first experience. And some of the guys that we had on that team played with her in the Maple Leaf, and they've already kind of played against her in the boys side of it. So it wasn't a really big, huge thing, transition for them, because they knew about her already and they were very confident in who she was. But yeah, it was just, we became really close as a team that year. Yeah, we slipped a little bit, but then we rebounded and, you know, like just came back with the vengeance. And and, you know, unfortunately that year too, the AJ changed the playoff process.
Oh yeah. We'll talk about that.
We swept the Bonnyville 4 straight, and then we had a 21-day layoff.
Yeah.
And so did Canmore, right? They were both in there, and we both kind of got out of a gate slow against St. Albert. And then we had we were down 2-0, came back 2-1, and we had we went into overtime in the fourth game. And we missed empty nets and stuff. And unfortunately, one bounce came off a guy's skate in front of the net. our defenseman, and it was a lucky goal, but that's how it happens in overtime. And so, you know, still you don't deflate the year that you had. Like, I think Chris and Shannon shared the shutout record in the AJ that year and everything. Yeah. So, you know, I would never take anything back. I really enjoyed that time. What happened, we just, you know, it is what it is. Hockey's hockey.
Right. I mean, you guys had an outstanding year. Like I said, 43-13-8. Like I said, you rolled through the sort of the regular season there. You guys swept Bonneville out. I was just shocked that any league thinks that a 2-week or a 3-week layoff, excuse me, in between playoff series is a good idea for anybody. And I mean, how do you manage a 3-week break like that?
Well, we got the Bear alumni to come out and try to play us, but you can't play physical. Right. So it's the timing still not the same. It's like shitty hockey. So if the grit wasn't there, you know what I mean? And when you're practicing for 3 weeks before you even play a meaningful game back to that intensity, it's hard, right? And so obviously the league didn't go back to that format.
I'd hope not, no.
No. So, but it is what it is. And, you know, it made our kids better in the end anyways, going through that too. But, you know, there was different scenarios too that, you know, we just couldn't play anybody that would give us that grit and that physicality side of it. It's no different than you talk about the NHL now, right? Just getting their timing. You can scrimmage against your own teammates, but they're not going to be as physical as another opponent, right?
Right. Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's the hardest thing about, especially in the playoffs too. I mean, like I said, I mean, you just need that to up that intensity a little bit.
So absolutely.
I totally get that idea. 04-05, Shannon played 61 games for you guys as an 18-year-old. Like, she was in virtually every game.
Yes.
Did it ever hit you as you were watching her in that, like, she might backstop Canada one day while playing with you guys?
Well, I knew her as she played also for us in the Brick when she was 9.
Right.
And so I knew about her history going through the boys, right? And I knew that her goal was always to play in the NHL. And what happened was, you know, going through the Tri-Cities, I really had a good talk with her about, you know, because obviously Hockey Alberta was reaching out to her to play U18s and all this stuff. And she just didn't want to go to the women's side. And it was a struggle at first for her because of the timing and stuff. But once she went there, and she just took off. And, you know, it's obviously they've seen how good she is too. And her career just excelled and went from there. So, you know, she's still today. So, you mean when she won a gold medal, she came out to our spring teams and come brought up. You know, I just admire what she's done in her career, and she deserves it.
That
very, very much so.
I mean, she earned every step of the way. I'm
not taking absolutely
away from her by any means.
Absolutely.
So, 2005-2006, a little bit of a change for you with the Crusaders. They added the extra role for you as you became GM and head coach. Do you like doing both, or do you just like being a head coach?
Well, I like doing both, but it just depends on the environment that you're in, right? I mean, if you get the green light to make good decisions and stuff like that, you want to, I always say as a coach and as a GM, if you're making those decisions, either fail or be successful, is very important for your individual mindset, right? So GM and coach was probably, I love that part about it because I could trust myself in a thing. But when you have another GM working with you and a coach, it's not always the same opinion. And you don't sometimes get the chemistry that you do when you recruit. So when I was GM, I would recruit, like, the guys would bring them and then I would interview the players and stuff and really get to know them. And when you have that separation, it's not the same, right? So I did enjoy it very much so. I think I believe it's no different than the slash, is that I make the final decision.
Right.
And it makes it a difference, right? It's like, I believe first and foremost, character is a huge part of life. And, you know, about, so it's like, I love to, when I go watch games and I see kids play, I see how they think the game. and you know how they make players better around them. They don't have to be the best skater or the best skill or whatever, but it's just like, what do they think on the ice? Do they make everybody better around them? That's important to me, right? So,
and I mean, that's a, I mean, that's a big thing, obviously, especially when looking at, you know, potential is always potential, but I mean, do players ever reach that potential? Are they going to reach that potential? Can they exceed that potential? I mean, that's exactly, yeah, a character will tell a lot about exactly where you're going with that. So
exactly.
You did transition to women's hockey, though. I got to ask you, because, I mean, again, you even said it was a bit of a learning curve there. What did you personally have to learn about, you know, coaching girls?
Okay, I'll give you my first time I go to the dressing room. So it's the first, like, tryouts went good and stuff like that. It was like, you know, just kind of like, I was just saying, well, gee, the girls don't have very much confidence and stuff in themselves, right? They work hard to get the puck, then they throw it away. And I said, well, gee, how do we manage the puck if we throw it away all the time if you work so hard?
Right.
So I was like kind of just taking everything in and seeing. So our very first game of the season was up in Grand Prairie. And we won the first game with the Thunder. We had a pretty decent team.
Yeah.
The goalie that was with me for the first year is Julia Strong.
Yeah.
She's now come back from St. Thomas, and she was her third year, and she made our team. And she's coaching with me ever since, like,
nice.
Ever since the coach female, like when she's come back. So
yep.
It's phenomenal that way, how the girls want to give back, but just her, you know, dedication to the game. And even to me, it's been a phenomenal, and I appreciate that from her, but that was my very first goal and she was good. So we, you know, we probably didn't have a lot of good offense, but we had some good young players and stuff. And Brittany Esposito that came back from a knee injury the following year, we missed her because basically she played for Northeastern and she was very, very good offensively, and we didn't have that. So the second game in the weekend, then we were playing lazy. And so I go in and I know, like, okay, I got to go in there and kind of motivate them and stuff. And I just kind of like, I have a kind of booming voice even on the ice and stuff. So I, we got to work hard. We got to get in their feet. We got to. And so I raised my voice a little bit, but no swearing, no nothing or anything, right? And then all of a sudden I turn and there's three girls crying. And
oh, jeez.
Oh, and my heart's just throbbing. I said, and now I'm reversing and saying, what did I say? What did I say? So I come out of the room and I asked Heather, I said, Heather, what did I say? She said, absolutely nothing. That's girls. I said, so I said, okay. So that was kind of like the emotions, like everybody. So that's the unique thing about girls is they're very, very different. Every one of them, really, like, in their mindset and stuff. Right. So that just kind of propelled me to really study about females and what makes them tick and kind of like how to motivate them and things like that, just to kind of make them better, right? So that kind of really sent me a good message. It's not boys, it's different, and it's, but they want to learn. They want to learn, and they want to be the best they can possibly be, and I admire that, and it's awesome.
The message is the same, but the way it's received might be different.
Yes, yes, yes. And the one thing about females is that you have to show you care, and you have to care, and you have to be honest, right? If you are honest with them, they're going to be honest with you, right? And they don't like it sugar-coated or anything. They like, they don't, might not like what you say, but it is, they appreciate that you're honest about it, right?
Yeah, so. No, I mean, that's important. So I again, just going through some of your stuff, because again, you've been recognized for being good at what you do. Another accolade was bestowed upon you as you were named the 2009-2010 Coach of the Year for the Alberta Major Midget Female Hockey League, the predecessor to the Alberta Female Hockey League. It seems like this coaching thing's kind of working out well for you in terms of, you know, going from men's hockey and now into women's hockey. You kind of got the, you know, both sides mastered at this point.
Well, it's been, I will never, I don't regret anything. I mean, you learn from everybody. It doesn't matter coaches that you've coached with or anything, but you know, it's been a great ride. I've, like, just through going through this COVID, has really kind of, I said to my wife, you know, maybe 3-4 weeks ago when hockey just started up again. And I said, I am not ready to retire. I just not. It's like I can't. And I miss it so much, right? And so, you know, hockey has given me some really good accolades, but the other thing, it's also, it's helped me meet great people, right? And that's the key, and helped me meet lots of friends, and I would never take anything back. So
looking at that women's award, the Coach of the Year award for women's hockey, comparing it to the men's, though, does it mean a lot more to you, in that knowing how much you had to change in terms of your coaching style, does it mean more that you're recognized at that point, going, so look at all the changes I had to make?
Yeah, well, it means a lot. It doesn't matter. It's like,
yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I'm a very humble person.
Right. Yeah. When
I coach, it's not about me. Yeah. I want the girls to be happy. I want the boys to be happy. I want them to enjoy life. I want them to have a great experience. So at the end of the day, you have to believe in who you have in front of you.
Right.
And you have to try to figure out how to motivate them to be the best they can possibly be. So it's they get it for you. And that's the success that I have, that they've, you know, that's the gratifying thing when they do it. And that makes me happy. The other things are extra, winning championships or everything like that. It's the same thing. It's about it's a family. If you can get those 20 people to come together and really believe in themselves, they can do incredible things, right?
Yeah.
And it's not always the same way. You got to motivate them different. They're all different. Every team's different. But winning those awards, yes, it's appreciated. I never give them back. I'm very, very proud of them. Very proud of them. And I'm thankful for them, but it's a family and it's a team thing too. So that's.
So, I mean, you've gone through to a number of SO Cups. You've gone through to, you were playing with Sherwood, or you were coaching Sherwood Park, the Fury AAA midget program there. And you guys were going to the Max Invitational tournaments. And I don't know if people in Manitoba get a sense of, like, we hear about the tournament in Quebec that's really, really big. We hear about the tournament in Calgary that's really, really big. And we don't really have a sense of how big or how prestigious that tournament is. Can you give us an idea of just what the Max tournament means to people in Alberta?
Well, the Max term was, so the one thing is, for the female side of it too, it's the different, the boys, that's kind of the only midget tournament they really get to, and they get fired up for, because it's invitational only.
Right.
So our league is split, and all the Calgary teams get invited, but then four other teams get in, and have to be the best. So they rank them by November, and then those are the guys that get in. And it's something, it's no different than the girls. When I first started Thunder, that was one of the very most focused thing that we were trying to focus on, was getting into the Max, right? And there was like Winnipeg teams, everything. And it's something that they took pride in. And it's unfortunate it kind of diminished in the female side of it, not any, because it was always over Christmas. And what I found for the females is that they love family. They love to be with their family, right? Guys can sometimes take, you know, separate that, and they hockey's everything to them. You know what I mean?
Right,
but
yeah.
The females have to have both. They have to have a balance, right? And so family was very important, and absolutely for parents too. Parents were very adamant. They weren't very, you know, interested in going into the Max, but the girls wanted to, and they wanted to play. And it was, it's phenomenal tournament. So many teams go there. So many scouts, like on the boys side of it, like it's just packed, right? Yeah. So even when we're involved watching, or when we got the, you know, opening ceremonies, and you're on the ice and everything, and it's like, it's an incredible feeling for those kids, right? So, it's a great experience. My boy, Doug, was involved in the Quebec Pee Wee tournament too.
Right.
So, you know, that's another huge experience for that age of kids, and we've been traveling into the States and stuff like that with the Slash, and there's lots of things. Like, we would love to have gone to Stony Creek if we were able to. That's a huge one for females, but we never can because it's during our tryouts.
Oh.
And it's right in that first long weekend, after the long weekend in September, and that's kind of where our first kind of like releases are. and then we get another set of girls coming in to try out, right? So it's hard for us even to book that, right? So it would be phenomenal to go there because I know that's the biggest tournament in Canada.
Yeah.
And Glenn Bowles runs that, and then he runs another one in December that we've kind of gone to last year, and it was really a lot of fun too. So it's good too.
I'm in no way associated with promoting the tournament here, but the Female World Sports School Challenge had a pretty big Alberta contingent at the event last year.
Right.
There was one big exception, though. There was no St. Albert Slash, which we were kind of like...
Yeah, well, we were looking into going to that this year.
Okay, that's good news, because we were going to say, we wanted to see if you guys wanted to come in and maybe keep the Alberta success going with Edmonton winning this year and then Lloydminster last year. It seems like there's always an Alberta team in the final, so...
Yeah. Well, wasn't Pandas there last year in the final?
Yeah, Pandas won it last year. Yeah, and Lloyd.
Yeah, and then Lloyd was in the final the year before, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, and then we were, because we knew we couldn't travel to the States this year, so hopefully, even if that tournament opens up, that and we're able to travel, you know, we would love to come down there this year. So
sure, yeah. I mean, like I said, we'd be happy to have you down for sure, because it's always good to get good teams in. So
yeah,
I want to ask, because I mean, I think this is something that, especially in today's world and seeing teams added, subtracted, the women's hockey scene anyway in Edmonton always seems to be strong. I mean, again, we're talking about going back a few years from the Thunder to the Fury. Looking today, Pandas, the Slash, the Extreme, like there's a lot of great teams that are out in that sort of in Calgary. I mean, Calgary as well has, you know, the Fire,
they have lots
of phenomenal hockey being played out in Alberta, which is fantastic. So it was a bit of a shock to me when Alberta decided to sort of focus on making a quote unquote that super league, the six teams that are playing now in the Alberta Female Hockey League, by reducing it from 9 to 6 teams. I get the hockey's going to get better because you're putting more of the elite girls on six teams, I guess, but amongst the six teams at that point. But is it a bit of a paradox in that we're removing the number of roster spots available to elite girls by doing that?
Well, yeah. So give you an example. It's like, it's more about Hockey Alberta wanted to be more also successful at the national level.
Okay.
So yeah. So what happened was they wanted it more to be a progression and development side of it. So obviously I think their focus was, you know, you come out of Bantam, you get into midget elite, which is double A here. Yeah. There's 12 teams in double A, and then there's six teams in triple A. And what's happened is the girls have got so much better, is that there is always that unique underage girl or, you know, some really young girls. So they kind of step into that midget triple A level because, for one, NCAA recruits very young. They recruit in grade 9, grade 10, basically your first year of midget, right? And they know you coming out of U16. So that's the tough part. And I think Hockey Alberta just wanted to kind of strengthen their program a little bit more on the female side of it that way.
Yeah.
And it was not to eliminate or take away options for the other girls either. It is like I've been with 9 teams. I've been also when the Thunder had 12 teams, right? So it was, you always, I think 9 teams worked very well, but it was like to facilitate the 9 teams was getting a little bit tough in the South, I think, or something. So that's why they chose to go to two teams like Okotoks and Calgary, and then Red Deer is a South team, and then we have Lloyd, Edmonton, and ourselves as North. I think we could have been okay with 7. I would have been better with 7 because Grand Prairie they have a pretty good program, but now we're asking, if the boundaries are open, and the boundaries were open, we're asking females to move at 15,
right,
16. That's a hard decision for girls to do and for families to make, right? So we got a girl from Spirit River. We still have Ross from Spirit River. We have Ira McDonald from Northwest Territories. Yeah. So that's a big transition for females. It's hard because they've never left home before, right? And at a young age. So
I mean, that's the thing. Like, I mean, at 15, I mean, who knows? I mean, world's your oyster still. Dreams can be followed anywhere. But I mean, yeah, you're moving away from everything that you know to complete uncertainty at that point. And at 15, I don't know if I would have been ready. That's kind of a big ask,
well,
right?
Well, see, and then Kyra, she plays like boys hockey, but it's like shinny. It's not female hockey up there.
Right, yeah.
So she's never really played under structure until she came to us last year. And I watched her in Nationals in Red Deer when, you know, for Northwest Territories. And that's how I kind of recruited her from there and seen her. And she had lots of potential. She was only a first year at that time, right? And she's a good volleyball player, good athlete, and an amazing kid. So,
I mean,
yeah. It's hard. Like, and it was even as a second year coming in, 16, she was really nervous. Like, it was... That's a long ways from home.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm thinking. Like at 15, 16, that's a tough move for anybody.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So with Sherwood Park's downgrade, you and a handful of players, you kind of moved over to the St. Albert side of the coin and moved in there where things really started to click for the program. 2017 saw you visit Manitoba where you guys came to Morden. You dominated from start to finish. You got an overtime winner from this year's U Sports Player of the Year, Tyra Maropoulos, who basically ended the entire tournament for everybody with, and she scored the 1-0 winner over the Triolet Harfang. How awesome is it to see you guys win the SO Cup and you're standing atop the mountain now?
Yeah, it's amazing. Like, honestly, when you start the journey, you don't realize at the end what it could feel like, but what I told the girls is at the start of that year is that our goal was to get, you know, win the league. And obviously the hardest thing is to get out of your home province a lot of times, right? Because they know you so much. Every team knows you well. They know how to break you down and things. And even the way we won against Rocky was called, right? Rocky.
Yeah.
The Raiders. It was like we got a break. So, you know, when it was funny because there was that, we had a very mature team that year, and we had two first years that were like basically Maddie Willen and we had four first years, McKenna Shuttler and Izzy Lesois, and then I'll get her, but anyways, so when we were going through the provincials, we won, we beat Calgary, but then we lost in overtime to Red Deer. Mm-hmm. And then we had to play Rocky, and we came and we were down. So basically we win and another point, right? So we got a point in overtime. So what happened was it came down, basically we lost to Rocky that, and we came back with a vengeance and just about tied it up, but we didn't. And the girls were devastated. And they knew that now Calgary had to win to beat Cal. They had to beat Red, just have to beat Red Deer because Red Deer only had, they had 2 points, right? And three, but we had 3 points plus one is four, right? So Calgary had lost both games to Rocky and ourselves. So they were kind of out of it. But Calgary, the motivational factor, when we came off the bench, off the ice, and then a lot of girls were crying, the Calgary girls were lined up and says, we'll win for you. We'll win for you. You're the best team. Just didn't have the breaks and stuff. We'll win. And Dan, the coach, was like, yeah, the girls came to me and said, they're going to do anything to win this game. So, like, they had three lines. And in the third period, we were back in our hotel watching. And I just told the girls in the dressing room, if you get a chance, second chance, now what you're going through, think about what you're going through, how you feel, how it's devastating, and how you're going to prevent that feeling again, right? And so it ended up, Calgary won. So we ended up going into the final against Rocky, and then we won 2-0, and we were like Drever was lights out. We had girls diving in front of pucks. We were basically killing penalties the whole third period. And the sacrifice that those girls made, it just kind of bonded them together. And, you know, I even said, you know how you feel as a coach when your goalie's in a zone, like tracking the puck and everything? I said, she's not getting beat. She's not just getting, like, she was in it. And all our girls were, there was one girl, it was Shoemaker, was like basically blocked the shot and blew her stick out of her hand. And then it kind of got revolved over and she was down on the ice and she seen the other D-man ready to fire the puck and she skated as hard as she could and dove head first in front of it. That was the kind of sacrifice we had. And the girls were just screaming and everything. And that's kind of how it all started. And about, and as soon as we got that break, and here's the thing, that the night before, and when we knew we got in and we were playing before we played them, we had a banquet and stuff, and one of the Olympians was talking about the when they played U.S. and they basically the puck U.S. the puck was iced, right? And when Canada had the goalie pulled and basically hit the post,
yeah,
and everybody says, was that luck or was it meant to be? Right, it was meant to be that they would win. So that's what I said to them, is that every we got, it was meant to be for us to be in the final. So and then it just took off from there. And then we got to Morden, it was like we just had a really good round robin and we were playing. And you know, and I'm a players person, a players coach, and I don't like sitting any girls,
right?
And it was one, it was funny because we got in and then everybody, we had 20 girls, and a lot of girls, a lot of teams had only 17 or some, you know, short the bench, right? And
yeah,
so they were going with two lines and we had four, and we were like going through it. And against Quebec, where we kind of like we were down one goal and we tied it up, and then in round robin and stuff, and we won. We kind of shortened the bench in the last 5 minutes, and the girls, like our third year girls were our fourth line type thing. And they go, oh, yeah, we want to win, right? Because it was like they didn't care anymore. It was like, oh, it's time to sacrifice. So I appreciate that when players accept those kind of roles and know what they have to do. And do I like it? No, I like everybody being on the ice and doing it. And that's what I always said. It's like being involved. You just, if you can do it and manage it, I don't have to shorten the bench at all, right? So, and we did. And it was only two times. And then in overtime, in the final game, I shortened the bench too, right? So
yeah,
we went with 4D and two, and we had basically went with like seven forwards, eight forwards. So, but yeah, it was an incredible game. And when they scored, and I knew when Maddie Willen blocked the shot, Quebec took the shot and blocked it. It was 4-on-4. She blocked and she picked it up, and they did a cross and drop. All we did, you know, how we do it in practice and stuff. And Tyra got outside wide on him, and she did a nice toe drag to zip her shoulder around the defender.
Yeah.
I said, oh, boy. And then all of a sudden, it was like short side, top bar down. I go, oh, my. It was like, that was unbelievable. But she's a natural goal scorer.
Yeah,
a
natural goal scorer right there for sure.
Yeah, she can score from anywhere, and she can shoot the puck.
She proved that this year.
I coached her in Pee Wee, too, in spring league, in spring hockey. Her and Mackenzie Hewitt, right?
Okay. So,
yeah.
Yeah, she proved her goal scoring ability this year out in out in Halifax.
Absolutely. So, her second half of the season was unbelievable. Yeah,
she lit it up out there. So, I mean, good on her, sure. And she certainly earned that award. 2018, you guys set a little history, made a little history. became the first team ever to repeat at the ESO Cup when current Canada West and U Sports Rookie of the Year, Madison Willen, scored the game winner in a 2-1 victory over the Saskatoon Stars. First one's always special. We'll never take anything away from the 2017 win. But what's it like winning a second ESO Cup over a team that handed you your first loss at an ESO Cup tournament a few days earlier?
Well, that year was funny because it was like we were resilient. It was like every time our backs were against the wall, we found a way to win. Rocky that year had a mature team, and they were basically – came in second that year in our league, and they were phenomenal. And we ended up, we both were undefeated going into the final game, or they beat us in the last game. It was like 3-2 or whatever, like, mm-hmm. But we were both in. So yep. So when we were playing them, we were down 2-1 And basically, same thing. Here's Maddie Willen. She's just kind of like always finds a way. We had a so what happened was it was at first we got we had a face off, so we pulled a goalie, and it all of a sudden regrouped, and they got it out, and they had a kind of like a 2-on-1 or 2-on-2 type thing, okay. But with an empty net.
Yeah.
And so I thought, okay, the girl's going to shoot, right? But the girl wanted to try to pass it to the middle of the ice. So an anchor slide block to block the pass. And all of a sudden she got the puck and transitioned it back up. So now with it was 12 seconds left, we get a face off in their end again. So, but he called a timeout.
Okay.
So it gave us a chance to regroup.
Yeah.
So we had a little play where we bring it back to the D, she take the shot. Well, Maddie's the winger, and she goes down low and behind. But what happened was it kind of ricocheted, and she kind of, like, got the puck down low, and she threw it back up high. But she snuck in behind the defenseman, and anchor took the shot. And all of a sudden, there was a rebound. And who's in, like, in between the goalie and the big defenseman is Maddie Willing.
Yeah, yeah.
And she ties it up, right? With the, it's like, so we were that close of not even going. And then we go into overtime. And they give us a double minor. Tyra and Maddie Willen get a double minor in the same shift, right?
Okay.
So now we got to kill a 5-on-3,
right? Yeah,
right. And I was like, "Oh my lord, what's going on?" Right? And so, we kill it, and right, and then we get a power play. Like I said, they owe us one. They'll give us one. You got to stay positive, right?
Yeah.
So we get a 4-on-3 power play, and Mackenzie Hewitt picks. Well, actually, Shyla Kerwer picks up a rebound. We have an umbrella up top, and yeah. She picks up the rebound and throws it back, you know, across the crease on the net. She gets a shot. The rebound comes right to Mackenzie Hewitt, puts it in the empty net, and when we're off to the races. But then we also go to game 3. That was also the Humboldt year, right?
Yeah.
And so we're in the first game. We won the first game, and then we got off, and we heard the tragic news, and our girls were rattled because lots of kids knew the boys from St. Albert and stuff and Spruce Grove, and so they were rattled. So we were dealing with more of the mental issues those nights, and they Vancouver Comets beat us the next day 3-2. We just about came back and won it. But then even the third game, we ended up, Maddie Willen, it's like something about her. She's always around, and Tyra too. It's like it goes off her shin pad and in, right? A shot from the point, and 1-0 win in third period. So it's like off we go again. And then even when we played in the Nationals, yes, Saskatoon, they were there a year previous, and they had now the third years coming back. And they were on a vengeance, and they hadn't lost in like January or something.
Right.
And they handed it to us in round robin. So I just said, my son was there coaching with us and stuff. And we were saying like, you know, I think we can beat these guys if we just like see they had some face-off plays. If we take those away and stuff like that.
Right,
so we watched video the night before, and we walked in the room, and throughout the week, there was like, you know, Saskatoon wouldn't let us walk by their dress room. So there's little things that kind of motivated the girls, kind of irritated them a little bit. So when we were in that room, I just said, okay, do you believe we can win? And they said, yes. I said, okay, we're going to win. And I said, the one thing, I don't care what anybody says that you shouldn't beat these guys. I don't care what people say about you. Anybody, it matters about what these 20 girls are here are going to do. If you guys are going to believe you're going to win, you're going to win, right? So we tweaked it a little bit, and it ended up in our favor. It was like, yeah, it was unbelievable. But good coaches, that Saskatoon star team was incredible.
Yeah, and, no, I mean,
you know, but the resiliency of those girls, it just when their backs were against the wall that year, they won. And it was all about the history of winning that game. In the final in Rocky, given that second chance, don't let anybody take an opportunity away from you again.
And I mean, that comes down to character again, though, like you were saying, though,
yes.
Right? Like, the character of the team at that point really sort of shows through in that resiliency.
Yes.
So,
Yeah, it was unbelievable.
2019, you guys add a little more ink to the record books, come out firing against the hometown Sudbury Lady Wolves for the first ever three-peat. UBC's Mackenzie Kordick had a pair of goals, and again, Willen was all over the score sheet. Isabelle Lajoie, I mean, as you said, also had a pair of assists in the victory, in the 4-1 championship victory there. Wasn't as easy as the first time. You guys went 2-2-1 in the round robin. We're kind of sort of in the midst of the middle of the pack there. What do you say?
Again, there's another different scenario, right?
Yeah.
It was more about where we're at. And, you know, always I say you have to give yourself an opportunity to get in the top four. Doesn't matter if you're 4, 1, 2, or 3, right? So, right. Obviously, we played Sudbury Wolves the first game, and, you know, we were kind of in the penalty box way too much and stuff like that. Came back, tied it up, lost in overtime to them and stuff. So then we played, we won the next game, or we won the first game, played Sudbury, lost that game, and then played the Stars, and we kind of lost a heartbreaker that way too. Anyways, we came back and won, and then we had to play Stony Creek. But we were also, I knew we were in, and so, but we were, Stony Creek played well. They had a nice young team, very fired up and stuff. And there, and you know, we talked to our goalie, Bree, she was a third year, and I said, you know, take this break, you can play in the semis, and she wanted to play, so she wasn't really focused. And Holly, we had a good backup, Holly, and basically, Holly went in after they were up 3-0, and you know, we lost, I think, 4-1 or something, 4-2. But anyways, we ended up playing Saskatoon again in the semifinals because they ended up first, and same scenario, you know, things go on through the week, and we knew about the history. And it was just like all of a sudden they came to the rink and you just knew that they were dialed in. You knew they believed they could beat these guys. And Dale Ross scores one of the, like, probably the funniest goals ever, going down wide. And all of a sudden she shoots rips a puck from the wall. And it just goes through a screen and goes in top corner to take a 1-0 lead. So we're managing that game right to the end. And then all of a sudden we have a kerfuffle with our line change. And, you know, Jenna Goodwin and Kaya was a defenseman, didn't know who to take on that one. And they got mixed up, and she goes wide and scores in the last minute. And then I said to Jenna was our first year at that time. And she's upset because he gave up the goal. I said, "You're starting." It's just like the best way to get back in is get out there. Just because we make one mistake. That's the game. It doesn't matter. We can recover. I said, just take it to him. Put the metal to the pedal, or pedal to the metal, and go, right? And so anyways, it ended up, we took it to them pretty good in overtime. And Maddie comes on late, and Allie does a great job on the forecheck and gets the shot, and there's the rebound. Maddie's in the right spot at the time. And empty net, and now we're going to the final. So it was unbelievable.
I mean, literally 3 different years, 3 different styles in terms of the way you guys won. And
every year has been different.
Yeah. So, right? I mean, again, like you said, I mean, I look at that and I just go, I mean, that's just, you know, again, you don't want to, you know, classify a tournament as a character win, but certainly the character of the players certainly came through in terms of just being, like you said, as resilient as they were in the different situations they were in.
Yeah, it's been a phenomenal ride, but – you know, and even Maddie stayed with us that year because she could have went to Pandas, and she told Howie, "I want to stay and learn the leadership of captain role and stuff." And she wanted to grow as a leader and learn those things and be responsible for the team. She's an amazing individual, though, very, very smart academically and everything. And she plays Baseball Canada.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
She plays U of A hockey now, CIS. She's, what you don't know is she's a high-end golfer too. One of the best at her age.
I was going to say, I read about that, and I was like,
she's doing everything. She's a phenomenal athlete all the way around. And, you know, just having her, even her hockey IQ was off the charts for that, for a female side of it and stuff like that. She just thought the game, like, you know, when you get a, like, you know Wayne Gretzky and stuff like that. He just thought the process quicker than anybody. And it was just, yeah, you appreciate when you have those individuals on a team. Like, you know, Tyre can score naturally, and that's not a gift. That's hard for girls just to score that natural, right? So they work on it more and more, harder than the boys do, because it's not natural for them shooting. Even the shooting mechanics are totally different. They don't have the same muscle structure.
Yeah.
Right. So,
I got to admit, I mean, Maddie haunted everybody this year in Canada West. So we know just how good she is in terms of finding spots on the ice to score goals. And I mean, yeah, she was phenomenal. So yeah.
Yeah. She's smart. Very smart.
Good. To see, it's come out early, and certainly she's kept the skills going that way. I'm going to give you a chance, because, I mean, we haven't really talked about it yet, but certainly about Vimy Ridge Academy, because you're the associate hockey director there. I want to make sure we give a little bit of a soapbox for that. So feel free if you want to promote anything going on with the camp or anything going on with the school or anything that way if you want.
Well, obviously, through this pandemic, we've been on video. Nathan Dempsey's our director there. Jeff Jones is our leader of admin and runs the whole program for AAD. It's been a phenomenal experience. You know, I've enjoyed basically the last 20 years of my life doing this. It's been a blessing. And, you know, I thank everybody for giving me the opportunity for doing that. But obviously, waking up every morning and doing something you love, I can't ask for anything better. I love being in front of kids. It motivates me. I'm at the gym at 6 a.m., 6:30. At the school, it just, like, it fires me up. And my day doesn't end till probably 8 or 9 after the slack and stuff. So it's like, but, you know, I choose to do that. But it just, I don't get tired of it. And, you know, that's what you're there for. That's what you're coaching for. And I think that's the most important thing about coaching, is getting, helping kids meet their dreams and teaching them great life skills, you know. And it's been a phenomenal opportunity for me to be involved with Vimy Ridge. And I would never say no to anything.
No, I mean, it sounds like if there's a person that can legitimately live the expression that, you know, if you find something you love, you'll never work a day in your life. It sounds like you might be the embodiment of that, sir. So
yeah, I love it. And thank you, Trevor, for reaching out. It's been a pleasure. And hopefully we do get a chance to meet in person coming to that tournament. Hopefully the door is open for us to travel in Canada. And that's a big thing too for ESSO Cup too. If it doesn't open, I guarantee there won't be no ESSO Cup again this year, right? So,
yeah.
And that's for everybody. It doesn't matter. Not just for the girls' side of it. It's for boys too, right? So, you know, hopefully those boundaries do open, and hopefully the things, quiet down with this COVID.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, hopefully everybody stays safe, knock on wood. For you, sir, definitely stay safe, you and your family. And we'll definitely talk again coming up in the future, because, like I said, there's probably a ton more we can go over for sure. So.
No, thank you very much, Trevor. It's been awesome.
So there's Dan Auchenberg, the head coach of the St. Albert / defending three-time ESSO Cup champion here in Canada. I want to make sure that we get his information out about Vimy Ridge. You can check out that academy as well online if you like. I will provide a link to that. But I'm happy to have had Dan on. He's legitimately one of the best coaches for women's hockey and all of hockey, based on his resume, and I'm happy to have had a chance to talk to him briefly. Finally got him on. With that, though, folks, we are out of here for another week. Stay tuned for Skippy here on 101.5 UMFM. It's Free Range Radio coming up next here on The Dial.
Hey, baby, I want to know if you'll be my girl.